shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. I'd also like to welcome any man animals and rat brains who are joining us. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. I mean, in this case, does Hollywood make a bad movie or did the Church of Scientology make a bad movie and we make fun of it?
Yes.
I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined, as always, by Cody Wolf.
Do you want lunch?
Jack Estabrook.
I want you to picture in your mind the three of us sitting in our recording studio at a Dutch angle. Just if you could picture that in your brain,
tilted.
You'll be fine.
Christy Smorrow and Nick Newitt are on assignment this week. They are out of town. Our movie is Battlefield Earth, a saga of the year 3000.
And it starts with the planet Earth, so you know it's good.
You know it's good. Well, you know, before we even get into this, because this is like a legendary bad movie. This is probably in the pantheon of bad movies, is right up there with Batman and Robin,
mm-hmm.
Wicker Man, you know,
yeah.
The ones that people watch and know are bad.
Yeah. There was buzz at the time they were out, that this movie was out. There was buzz that this movie was bad.
This
movie was
bad.
Like in theaters, people were like, oh my God, you got to check this out. This is crap.
I think this movie won more Razzies than any, you know, mainstream movie has ever won. I mean, it's pretty legendary. I would love, I don't want to do the like, is it so bad it's good, but I'd love you guys' thoughts on like, just did this movie kind of, were you surprised?
Like,
did it live up to that kind of caliber or like of its badness?
I think so. I was shocked at how, today's standards, the special effects look like crap, but I was kind of astounded at how good for the time the effects were. They put some money into this.
It was
some of them weren't good, but some of them
It was almost
did.
Shot to shot. There were shots that I thought were like, that's okay. And then there were other shots where I was like, whoa, like that looked alarmingly bad.
Yeah.
I was truly surprised by how bad it was. I knew how bad it was going to be, but that it was throughout different departments. It was badly shot. It was badly edited. The production design is terrible.
Yes.
I mean, like, there's many things. Like, there were failures throughout the creative process, which was... Because even when we look at a movie like Wicker Man, Wicker Man's not a badly shot movie. It's just the movie.
The pacing is
like,
okay.
Insane. Right. Yeah. Or Batman and Robin, which I would almost argue isn't a badly edited movie. I mean, a lot of other things are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... You rarely see a complete breakdown of the entire storytelling process like we see here.
Yes.
On this level of budget.
Yeah.
You know.
I was reading... So I looked at the IMDb afterwards that the cinematographer basically came out and said, like, this wasn't my fault. He's like... Because so many, like, color filters and stuff they used and the lighting was bad and he's like... It was the lowest budget I've ever had for lighting and stuff. And I think he said, like, the Dutch angles wasn't his thing either, so...
The director...
Were those put in post?
No, the director took credit for the Dutch angles.
He directed his cinematographer to do so.
He did. Yeah. He said he did it. His intent was he wanted every frame of the movie to look like a comic book, but...
Comic books aren't sideways, though. That was like a Batman thing, the 60s TV show.
Yeah, I mean, it's really dumb. I mean, it's just... And it is the weight of every shot being at a Dutch angle does wear on you. I was exhausted by the end of the movie. Yeah.
Well, to me, it felt like... You know, sometimes you'll see like a really cool shot or a really cool sequence and you see the intent that's behind it, right?
Right.
The use of slow motion, which is also...
That's
liberally used
in
this film.
That. Yeah.
The use of slow-mo once in a while to add some dramatic element to a scene. The use of the Dutch angle in like one shot to show that like the world is gone askew or something makes sense. But when a shot is just done to look cool and it's done that much, it's just, give me a break. You kind of get tired of it.
Yeah.
I hate to say I kind of got used to it. About halfway through the film, I didn't notice it anymore. I had trouble walking when I got off the couch. I was like, whoa.
It does. You're right. It was both exhausting for me, but there's a point where you just sort of are like, okay, that's what we're getting. All right. So let's start into it. This is maybe one of... This is in the short list of the worst openings we've ever done. The first couple minutes, because you are...
Yeah.
first, I mean, it's a bad sign of when they have to like do the whole, like, I think we see, like, it's, I don't know, like they establish, like, we're talking about Earth or something, but like immediately a guy comes up to Barry Pepper. We don't even know what's going on. It's like, the gods took your father in the night. Who? What? Like, what's happening? Like, this scene that's, I think, in theory, supposed to have some impact of us telling us that Barry Pepper's father died. Great. I don't know who Barry Pepper is. I don't know who his father is.
Yeah.
This is an insane way to start a movie.
I thought so.
There is no emotional weight to it. And then I believe we, like, flip backwards. We then, mm-hmm. like, jump back in time to where Barry Pepper had been. Or no, we don't. Or no, we're not going back.
See, it's so confusing,
why
right?
Why is this,
like, he's
going
to go on some journey to rescue his father, but we never see the character's father again.
No, because I think that's where he goes off to the city or whatever, because he's trying to find the gods.
Okay.
He tells those guys, he's like, show me the gods or something like that. So I think he's probably going to find the gods of his father. I don't know.
But it's so crazy. Like,
assuming that the gods are the aliens.
Yeah.
The cyclos, I guess.
There's just no weight to it. Like it's a weird thing to start a movie with that immediately disorients you, and you're like, who died? What? Who is this guy? Right. Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
I don't
want right to
pay 10,000 BC any compliments, but like, at least we knew what the dipshit character in 10,000 BC was doing.
What his motivations were, Here it's like, your father is taken by the gods. I would like to see the gods. So he goes to leave. They quickly establish there's this girl that he kind of likes, and then he rides off, and then he goes into a city, and then he kind of gets hijacked, but he gets jumped by these two guys who then become his friends.
Before he gets to the city, he does go through a mini golf course.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which is the first of many times in this movie I started going, what is the post-apocalyptic timeline? Because if this is the year 3000, we're talking about 1,000 years.
Yeah, potentially.
Potentially, since this mini golf course was built. But it only looks like that mini golf course has been abandoned for, like, I don't know, maybe 18 months. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's still functional.
Throughout the whole, because the whole city, it's like all the plate glass windows are intact. There's...
The tires.
The tires are on the cars are fine. The cars are just a little rusty.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not that bad.
That's real.
The batteries
crazy.
And the walkie-talkies later work still.
That's right. That's right. And then we get to Jack going to. Okay, so he goes into a big city, an unnamed big city. Later on, cities have names.
Well, it looked to me like there was the. Isn't I swear there was like a statue of Ben Franklin, and I thought maybe it was Philly, but I don't know.
You might be
this
right.
This movie moves around a lot. On the continent, when you learn what cities that they're in, and often they do a little scene setter at the bottom of the screen, and sometimes they did it, and when I needed it, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When characters seem to be aware of geography at times, and not aware of geography at other times. Later in the movie, he's like, we got to go to Texas. And I'm like, how the hell do you know what a Texas is?
Texas doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, you're a caveman who thought a dinosaur in a mini golf course was a god, and now you're like, gotta hit it to Texas? Like,
well, he read the books in the library by then. So.
Oh, that's right.
He was educated.
He had spent a couple minutes in a library.
Rat Brain got an education. So basically, Like, at first he gets, like, jumped by these two guys, but then they decide to work together to, like, find food, and they go to some mall.
But that's where this is so crazy. He gets jumped by these two guys, and then these two guys are like, oh, yeah, we're hunting for food. Okay, see you later, guy. We jump. Like, this is the worst mugging that's ever happened in history.
I took this scene to mean that these guys are going to, like, rob him or kill him or, like, do something bad to him, and then they just become friends like that.
Well, because he's got some... Let it be said, too, that I missed 75% of the dialogue in this movie because I watched it with Jack.
Guilty.
So yeah. I missed a lot of it, but I think he says, he's like, well, I have food here.
Yeah, I watched it,
I'll
by the way.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, he
if
bargains
you show me the
them,
gods.
Right.
Yes. I turned closed captioning on almost immediately.
I was going to,
Because the audio quality was so poor.
On
my TV, just like this movie.
Well,
is...
I kept having to turn it up and down because the music and the effects were so loud and the dialogue was so quiet that I was like riding the volume on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these guys who were jumping him, this is like the craziest mugging. It would be like if a robber came up to you and was like, oh, I'm not mugging you. Oh, I just have to go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And then if the person being mugged is like, hey, I have groceries. Right. Like, it's so weird. And then he's like, I'll give you this food.
Basically, I'll give you groceries if you give me a ride to see the gods.
It could have, this again is bad screenwriting where the idea of conflict is drama, but the conflict is not naturally, it's not organic, it's a forced conflict that they then have to awkwardly resolve in order to move the story forward.
It's just a way to introduce these characters too.
Yeah, it's real bad. Yeah. It's so now they're all friends. They go to this mall, which again does not look like it's been abandoned for a thousand years.
No, the fountains are still working. Hell, I expected the music to still be playing.
Yeah, it was
a lot like I Am Legend, like that kind of. But yeah. That had only been a couple of years.
That had only been a few years. Yeah.
This is ostensibly a thousand years.
This movie would have been better if it made it so it was only a couple of years. Movie is trying to do a weird thing say human beings have reverted to cavemen.
Yeah, they basically are. I was liking it to like Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Where in the, you know, they're man animals. They're basically just animals. Are they speaking English to each other? I don't think they're actually. I think they're actually grunting.
That's right. Another thing. But let's. Maybe this is too soon to talk about it, but the liberal use of like the language thing in the movie. You know, in the movie where like two characters are speaking to each other in English for the benefit of the audience, but they're really supposed to be speaking another language. Here it happens so bad where like the two alien characters, Travolta and Whitaker, are talking to each other in English. The humans are hearing the weird gibberish language. The humans are talking to each other in English in the same scene.
Yes.
And Travolta and Whitaker are supposed to be hearing grunts. But then, because Barry Pepper speaks the alien language, he speaks to John Travolta in the same scene. Everyone's speaking English.
Right. Yeah.
I'm confused. I was actually thinking that they were all speaking the same language or that there was some kind of like sci-fi thing where telepathy was being used to translate.
It took a while to figure that out. Like, because you figure like in the thousand years that they've ruled Earth or something, they would have learned what language the humans were speaking.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, that
it was wacky.
Jack's right. It's one of many things. It's handled particularly badly.
Yeah. And the alien language is just English played backwards. I don't know if you caught that. It was just backwards. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because at one point they're talking about the sound is just backwards recorded into English, but
it's
which is even lazier.
It's real lazy. And so anyway, they're in this abandoned mall, and then they get captured by Cyclos, who are the villains of this movie, giant aliens who have guns
and big fat rubber foam hands. Those hands a lot. Their fingers wiggle and everything. I love those things.
Which, by the way, they're sort of distracting the hands, but I was reading the IMDb stuff and it actually confirmed something that was driving me crazy the whole movie. I thought I was going like nuts because I swear to God, at some points, John Travolta had six fingers. And the other plates, he had five fingers.
Yeah.
It was like going back and forth. And someone on IMDb said that too. Because it was like, it was driving me crazy.
I thought that.
Because there were shots where it looked like he had like an extra pinky or something. But then other shots, he had his hand up and it was like five fingers. It was like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
What was happening with that.
It's so strange. And the costume design alternates between like bad and
worse.
With a high of pretty bad, like
it looks like they're wearing these big Kiss boots, so they're like really tall, and they walk like stomp, 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 and you can kind of tell that they're wearing these big boots,
and they
opposed to using like trick photography to achieve the effect.
I was going
to
say, on some days they seemed to have been aware of the concept of forced perspective, and then it felt like on other days they forgot, you know, because it's real weird on some days, or they could have. Yeah. There's so many like. Face nameless like characters that have no identity where they could have just done there's so many ways they could have done this better, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like it's another thing that is real lazily done. So they get captured. They get taken to a human processing center
in Denver,
which is funny because I thought I had no idea what was going on at this point, and I thought they were taking them like to their ship or something. And so they go this, and it looks like a spaceship, and then the lower third comes up and it says Denver.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Denver.
And we meet John Travolta, who is playing Turl,
yes.
The security chief for the psychos on this planet. Travolta's, much has been said about Travolta's performance in this movie.
Yes.
It is all worth it. This is a amazingly bad performance.
Oh, it's horrendous. It is.
This is overacting that I don't know. I was challenging myself as I was watching this movie, trying to think of a major budgeted film, even just a studio film, where a real actor had overacted to this degree in a movie. I couldn't think of anything. I mean, this is a level of overacting that's like uncomfortable to watch. Oh,
well, I was saying as I was watching it too, and we'll get to this a little later as well, that not the performance A, but B, the character, the villain's motivations.
Oh,
were like the comical villains who are evil but not really evil from a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
Where they just keep like trying to do something bad and then failing, and then you idiot, and he like bonks his sidekick on the head, and then they try something different, like Gargamel and the Smurfs or something. Like that's what this villain was like.
And there's a part of me that said, I should never make fun of a James Bond movie villain plot again. Because this plot is dumber than like 8 Roger Moore villains like put together.
Well, we kept comparing it to Goldfinger, which then came back when they go to Fort Knox later on. But
yeah,
but even Goldfinger had a more interesting plot with the gold instead of just I want to steal all the gold.
And his or Goldfinger's plot is not anywhere near as dumb as like this plot is. John Travolta absolutely causes. Everything that goes wrong is like served up to the humans on a platter. To like take over. It's real dumb.
Yeah. Well, going back to the plot, if you can call it that. So.
Oh, there's also the idea. I want to say before we continue, unless it's going to be brought up again. I said about the language being confusing. Also, the breathing apparatus I was confused on.
I
understand where they were going with it, but that also seemed to be inconsistent. Like, the cyclos needed air breathers to be out on Earth.
Right.
And the man animals needed the breathers to be inside the dome. But sometimes the man animals are just fine without the breathers in the dome, and sometimes the cyclos are okay without the breathers outside, and sometimes the man animals need the breathers outside. I was very confused by the inconsistency of the air breathing idea.
I didn't understand that at all.
I gave up on that.
I gave up on that. And the movie seems to have given up on it at times. Right. Jack's right. The movie seemed to give up on it at times. And then, weirdly, it would come back into the movie. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's something with... But there's even like a scene where Barry Pepper's like, oh, and then a minute later, he's like, I'm good.
Well, yeah.
why are you even doing this?
There's really no... I don't know what the payoff to that was.
I don't know either. I think it was just...
At the end when the dome was destroyed, did all the aliens... It was at the... I'm skipping ahead, but...
I think that was the payoff.
But why take over Earth if you can't breathe the air?
And there's
nothing here except for gold.
And if you can't breathe the air, then why not just be wearing these breathers, which don't seem that obtrusive, by the way, when people, when aliens are wearing them, like, it didn't, I didn't understand that. Yeah. In fact, to be honest, even when they're, we're skipping way ahead. When they were blowing up the dome at the end, I'm like, I don't understand why we're blowing up the dome. I don't know what this really accomplishes other than breaking a lot of glass.
Right. Yeah. They go to the human processing center or whatever, and Travolta's all excited because he's like finally getting off the planet. He's going.
This is a crummy post.
Yeah.
He's going to. I don't know if he's got a new, fancier job up at the home world or whatever. But
because the Cyclos are this evil corporate entity, they're like Ferengi on Star Trek, where they're like super capitalist imperialists, and everything is done by like the company. And he wants a promotion because he hates his job.
Yeah. So he's supposed to be going off planet, and he's trained Forrest Whitaker to take over his job, and so. There's this whole stupid scene in the bar where he's talking to the bartender.
Yeah, he's like,
That's the scene where I got really worried because, like, he is horrendous in this movie.
This is like, he's horrendous in it. And yeah, he's like, well, so much of this movie is about the crappy corporate politics of, like, a super capitalistic alien race. And it's just dull. Mm-hmm. Like, it's as dull as it makes it sound. It'd be like listening to middle managers from a corporation you don't work for, talk about stuff. You just be like, I don't. Yeah, this I don't is. Care. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah.
So he's informed by some guy who's obviously his superior or whatever, that he's being kept on the planet for 50 cycles, which I'm assuming is 50 years.
Yeah.
Or close to, I don't know.
But he screws with him first. He says, yeah, you're going to get a promotion, and you're going to stay on this planet for another 50 cycles, and they all, like, laugh at him.
There's a montage
and
of people laughing at Travolta, which to me
where they're, like, repeating, like, there's, Jack and I were laughing because there's, like, like echoing what they said. It's like,
yeah.
You're going to be here for 50 cycles. You're going to be here for 50 cycles. You're going to be here for 50 cycles.
Yeah. Like, 50
yeah,
cycles.
And it was okay. Like, huh, and it was like, okay. Yeah. Like,
and apparently it's because of some quote unquote senator's daughter.
Yeah.
Right. That Travolta hooked up with a senator's daughter or something. Like, it's weird because it is actually a key point in a movie that doesn't have a lot of plot or structure. It's a key point that is kind of then covered in almost a throwaway line.
Right.
Yep. You're like, oh,
it's kind
okay.
of a joke at that point.
Yeah.
And then he's so, like, uh-oh, I got to get off this planet.
Yeah. Right. So then...
So at this point, Barry Pepper has been thrown into the human prison.
Yep.
Where,
very Planet of the Apes style.
Well, I was going to... Yeah. Throughout the whole movie, I kept thinking about the newest Planet of the Apes movie. Have you seen that one? Was it Rise?
I have not.
Is Rise of Planet of the Apes the newest one? We went to see it.
The
yeah.
newest one is War.
Or War of...
I haven't actually.
I don't remember.
I haven't seen either.
Rise was the first one.
I'm gonna make a comment right now. The new Planet of the Apes trilogy is fantastic, but yes. I do mix the titles in my brain. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think Rise was the first. I think Dawn was the second, and then War for the Planet of the Apes was the third. I think
it's a very
but
good
movie. It's all very similar to this in the cages stuff. Like he keeps getting put in the cages, and he's getting the other people in the cages. Caesar, the other apes, to like. Rally around him and to escape and all this stuff and planning and this. It was very similar to that. I kept flashing back to that while I was watching this, but this is much, much worse.
Yeah, it was so ham-fisted.
Yeah.
The moment that Barry Pepper shows up in the human jail, he immediately just becomes their leader by being like, oh, I'm just going to punch this guy who's like rationing food and be mm-hmm. like, no, everyone eats. We're all cool. And it's so like, okay, like what was going on here before then? Like, what?
Yeah, well, why is Barry Pepper the one who says, hey guys, if we work together, we can escape? Like, it's like human compassion is gone.
Well, that's the other thing. Going back to Planet of the Apes again, that was kind of Planet of the Apes to me too, where he's like the outsider. He's smarter than all of them, in Planet of the Apes because he's from, he's a more intelligent human.
Right.
Or in the remake, the same thing. But in this, he's just another one of them. But for some reason, he's more intelligent and more compassionate or whatever. But.
Yeah.
But that didn't make any sense because he's just another one of,
he's just another guy.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the aliens, when John Travolta finds out he has to stay on Earth, he also finds out that Forrest Whitaker had a plan where some gold had been found.
Yeah, basically, Forrest Whitaker discovered a vein of gold in a nearby rock face that whatever the cyclos are mining, they weren't paying attention to it. And he's like, great. Once Travolta gets promoted and I'm in charge, I'll say, hey, look at this gold I found, and I'll get a raise.
Right.
In which Travolta is like, ha-ha, you tried to double-cross me, but I already knew about the vein of gold, and now we're going to use it to buy off people so that we can get off this planet.
Yeah.
And this is literally the plot of the movie right here. John Travolta and Forrest Whitaker in a comical attempt to get gold without anyone else knowing about it,
which
so they can buy off people so they could get off planet.
Yeah, and the whole thing was so interesting because it's like gold. So first off, luckily gold is valuable to them as well, like it is here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Second off, I read a thing on the IMDb, one of the comments or something, and Jack and I were kind of talking about last night where
mm-hmm.
there's gold like everywhere at this point. Nobody's using gold, so all the banks are probably still filled with gold.
Absolutely.
If they can do any sort of scan or whatever to figure out, like, oh, there's gold
somehow,
in all these big cities.
Over the past 1,000 years, the cyclos seem to have done next to no research about just, like, places or things
go to a pawn shop and steal some gold.
They're like the aliens in Signs. They invade a planet that's mostly water, right. And water's the one thing that can kill them. It's the same thing. Like, hey, look, these people have lesser technology than us, but clearly they have some high technology. It stands to reason that they might have this precious metal, gold, on this planet, and it's possible that, hey, look, some of their world leaders are wearing it on their ears and around their necks. Like, you'd think that they would have figured this out.
Yeah, humans are very aware of gold. I mean, at the time the cyclists took the planet over, they were we were very aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I have this note several times in my movie, but if I could talk to the writer of this film or L. Ron Hubbard, yeah. Well, I think we all know what L. Ron Hubbard's thoughts on this are.
Yeah.
I would just be like, what is the fascination with leverage? The word leverage is used so many times by so many characters in this movie. I mean,
I think they thought they're being clever because like the leverage keeps flipping back and forth between who has it.
Aha!
It's weird how they keep using that word though. Uh-huh. Like they don't even use things like they don't use blackmail or I have the upper hand or I'm in a position of power. No, it's always the word leverage. And I think, I mean, as we now know, Scientology is sort of based on leverage in getting blackmail material on members in order to keep them in Scientology. Somewhat famously, many former Scientologists have said that the church was keeping blackmail materials on John Travolta, which made me every time someone this or his character talked about he talked about like I've got leverage, I just had to be like, this has to be weird for John Travolta considering it's pretty much widely known that the Church of Scientology has blackmail materials on him.
Yeah.
They have leverage on him.
He must have done something for them to put out on Netflix. That's their leverage.
And everything is leverage. Yeah. Oh, I have leverage. Or, oh, you have leverage. It's so strange. And they have a virtual reality learning machine. The aliens do. The Psychos do.
Well, this is what makes no sense, too, because I think we're jumping ahead a bit. When Forrest Whitaker and John Travolta come up with this plan to let's mine gold in secret so that we can then pay off the right people, get off this planet, live like kings on the Cyclo homeworld, we can finally blow this popsicle stand or whatever. I half expected them to say that line because of how, you know, over the top and stereotypical these villains were. This thought occurred to me. Well, they've got these humans that they think very, very, very low of. They call them man animals. They don't think very highly of them at all. Most of them are clearly very primitive, right? So why not take some of these man animals in the middle of the night with some pickaxes and the kinds of stuff that, you know, you could mine gold with in like the 1860s.
Sure.
And go to the vein of gold, which is a few miles, let's say, away from the main operation, mine the gold, kill the humans, and then take off on a spaceship.
Why train humans in mine gold anyways if Fort Knox is full of gold?
Exactly.
Go to Fort Knox and take all the gold and then...
But if at this point in the film, I didn't know that. At this point in the film, I assumed that all that gold was gone because we hadn't been to Fort Knox.
But Barry Pepper figured that out in 4 seconds. He like read a book and he's like, oh, Fort Knox, it has gold in it.
That's not an exaggeration.
Right.
Barry Pepper read a book and seems to be like, oh, I know where there's a ton of gold.
But the point I'm making is the film reveals to us that they're paying Cyclo workers to mine. Why are there human slaves in the first place?
Well, it is unclear what the human slaves are being used for. Because I was confused by this, too. Because I was like, why do they have a human processing center if nothing is being done with these humans?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are they being used for if they're not mining?
Yeah, because then there is a scene where Travolta and Forrest Whitaker go to, like, the person in charge, the Cyclo in charge of Earth, and are like, oh, what if we did some test mining with humans? The person's like, that's against the law. Bah, we can't. We can't use slaves to do our dirty work. We have to have aliens who we pay low wages to. And I was like, why? Like, I mean, in the whole thing of like that the radiation where this gold is so high, so aliens can't go there. There's like all these weird conditions the movie has to put in place in order for the movie to move forward, but they're all stupid.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
So back to the learning chamber.
Okay. So they have this VR learning machine.
Yeah.
This felt weirdly Scientology to me too, but
that's what Jack said.
Well, it's an isolation chamber where you're force fed information until you break, basically. It sounded very Scientology to me, though I am somewhat ignorant to the practices of the Church of Scientology.
It sounds like something they would like to have.
Yeah.
This sounded more like science wish list than science fiction.
Well, this was very convenient too. We have a machine that's going to force all of our information into your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
For what reason? I really don't know.
And why would the head Cyclo want to train a prospective Spartacus to lead his people to a revolt? Who he has to think that might happen.
Travolta already knows that Barry Pepper seems to be smarter and more capable than most humans, because he's seen Barry Pepper twice successfully use a cyclo gun to shoot and kill a cyclo.
I could understand teaching him the language so you could communicate with him and through him communicate with the rest of them or something, or try to get some leverage by being able to talk to him. But then to also teach him everything about humanity and everything about his race and, you know, basically teaching him how to destroy them.
This is a real...
And then every chance he gets to kill him and squash this revolution, he doesn't.
There are so many times where John Travolta should have just killed Barry Pepper and been like, ooh, I need a dumber, like, lackey. But he doesn't. So
not only does he teach him the language in this hilarious sequence where he keeps running and dangling a rat in front of him and speaking in, like, half English.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that whole thing... Okay, so... So he sends them out. He this is, I think, before before the learning thing, sends them out so that they think that they have escaped, basically just so he could see what they want to eat, because he wants to feed them to try to get on their good side or something.
Right.
So then he sees them eating a rat because it's like all they could find,
and he assumes that's a delicacy or something.
Yeah, he assumes that's like their favorite food.
Yeah.
So. And he has these cameras at him, and they find the cameras, take the cameras off. That's where he's kind of like, oh, he is kind of smarter than I thought.
Again, another clue that this guy is more on the ball than they think he is.
Hidden cameras is a big thing in this film, too.
Right.
We're spying on you. Surveillance is a big thing.
I feel like the more I think about this movie, the more I'm, like, concerned about, like, the Scientology. Yeah. But,
He figures that their favorite food is a rat or whatever, which is where he yells at him, do you want lunch? And he, like, holds a rat in his face because he's trying to get on his good side, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's when he throws him, because that doesn't work. That's when he throws him to the learning machine to try to teach him, I guess, the language or whatever. But
and he also, in this stretch, so after Barry Pepper destroys the surveillance cameras and, like, has really shown, like, he's a real kind of, like, concerning intelligence.
Right.
To scare Barry Pepper, John Travolta takes him to... the library?
Yes.
To arm him with more information and knowledge.
Yes. What kind of punishment? Like, even as this scene is going on, I'm like, what is happening?
And they imply that they're there for hours.
Yeah.
Like, he gives him time to read.
Yeah, what is this movie even positing? I don't understand. Yeah. Like, I'll show you. Here's some books. Like, what?
What I thought was really funny here, and I mentioned this to Cody last night, was how insulting the film was to the audience intelligence, where it's clear that Barry Pepper is reading the Declaration of Independence, and then it's like in a book, and a page flips over that says, the Declaration of Independence. Yeah. And I was like, that's pretty insulting to the audience, because I can imagine that even in other countries, they might even assume that must be the Declaration of Independence. It's an American film. Like, you know, like, that's very insulting to my intelligence. I don't know why that stuck out to me, but it did.
But so, yeah, I mean, how much information? Because, yeah, if they were there for hours, it was only hours.
They have to have been. He read enough.
How much could he have read in those hours to have learned all of those things that he learned, like, you know, Fort Knox. I'm assuming he learned about Fort Knox there.
Yeah.
And Fort Hood.
In Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. And all this other stuff. Plus, read the,
how to operate a flight simulator in an Air Force base.
How to fly jets.
I mean, all kinds of stuff. And it's like a week. And I mean, I know they're saying, like, he got some of his intelligence or stuff from the VR alien race.
Maybe it increased his IQ.
But it's also like, his character's, like, intelligence jumps are like, why? What? Like,
well, I could see him, like, if he had shown him the library for whatever reason,
and a montage of several months where he goes
of him going sneaking out and going back. Yeah. Then over time, like, he's read a lot and learned stuff, but that's not what happens.
That's not what happens. Yeah.
It's like he flips the page on Declaration of Independence, and Travolta's like, all right, ready to go?
Yeah. Like, haha, I've punished you enough. Haha. Like, yeah, okay. So it's around this point when I think this is where Travolta takes Barry Pepper and, like, some of Barry Pepper's friends out to do, they're going to, like, do some, like, where they're going to be doing some mining, I think.
Yeah, he's, like, trying to teach him how to use these machines and
how
stuff.
How to use the machines. And Travolta gets bum-rushed by a bunch of hill people cavemen.
Yeah,
right.
And they have Travolta captured. He doesn't have any weapons. They have his weapons.
And they have his spaceship thing.
Which
Barry Pepper knows how to fly, I think.
He does know how to fly, because it appears that that was one of the VR things they were teaching him.
Yeah. This is his Spartacus moment.
For reasons that are... I cannot fathom, they do not kill Travolta.
Not only does he not kill him, he gives him his gun back. And for other reasons that I cannot fathom, Travolta doesn't kill him.
None of this makes any sense, to the point where Barry Pepper gives a speech of nonsense.
Yeah.
To the point where he's like, I can't even summarize it because it didn't make sense, but it's a reason for not killing Travolta. But to the point that the other cavemen are like, you're a
And I'm
What are you cheering about? What, you could just kill this dude right now.
Yeah, he's basically saying, like, we need to get back in there so we can revolt from the inside or whatever. But the confusing thing is because, like Jack was saying, the language thing, whenever anybody's speaking, they're speaking English.
Right.
So
even if they're in the same scene together.
Yeah, so Travolta's laying on the ground. In my head, he can hear everything they're saying because he was just talking to Travolta in English.
Right.
In the sense or the logic of the movie, he can't. But they're saying basically, we're going to revolt from the inside. We're going to take him out or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, Travolta, here's your gun back. So in my head, it's like, why isn't he just heard him say all this stuff? Then I just remember that, oh, he didn't hear him say it. But it's not clear in the movie. Because if they had just cut back to him, because whenever they speak and they want to show it from like the alien's point of view, they're always like, oh, 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 oh.
Right.
Like a Planet of the Apes thing. Huh. And so I guess that's what he's hearing. But if they had cut to that at any point so you could tell like he didn't know what they were saying, then it makes a little more sense. But still, why didn't he kill him?
But why didn't he and even the idea of revolting from the inside, if they kill Travolta right there, they have weapons, they have Travolta's ship.
Yeah.
They are... how much better are things going to get from being in the inside where they're like in like prison pens?
Yeah. Plus, if Travolta kills him right there, then they don't have the leader.
Absolutely.
So either one of them could take the upper hand here.
So then he gives Travolta his gun back, which I'm then like, if I'm Travolta, I'm killing this guy right now.
Right.
I'm killing all of them.
Right.
These guys just,
especially if he's this great trick shot that could shoot the legs out from under an ox.
Yeah. That was the thing in that scene. That's what he was showing him, was that he's a really good shot. So he kept shooting the legs out from underneath cows or something.
Yeah.
And that's when he was able to steal a gun from him. So dumb.
It's so dumb. But, and if you're Travolta, you're like, okay, all of these humans just successfully took me down and put me in a situation where I should be dead.
Yeah.
They all now know how to do this. Mm-hmm. I need to kill them all. No, he then continues to put more trust in Barry Pepper.
Well, he says here, he kind of punishes him because he's like, here, I have to show you something now. Going back a scene or two, going back to the beginning of the movie, Barry Pepper wouldn't let the girl come with him because she's like, oh, you don't think I fight as well as a man, right? And he's like, no, I don't. And he's like, but you fight, or you're tougher than most men, so I need you here to watch them or something.
Right.
So at this point in the movie, a couple scenes before this scene, she's like, that's it, I'm going, I have to go find him. I'm going to go. And she, like, leaves.
Right.
So immediately, apparently, she was captured because now in this scene, John Travolta has her.
Yeah.
And he's got a, like, a neck, you know, a collar bomb on her.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you screw with me, I'm going to blow her head off.
And it's, like, it's so weird, the staging of this, because you'd be like, you want to be like, dude, they did just mess with you, and actually, like, you're in a lot of trouble here. Yeah. Like, and if you had her, like, you know what would have been a good time to bust out that you had his girlfriend kidnapped?
Mm-hmm.
When they had you kidnapped.
Right. Yeah. Like, if you kill me, we're going to kill.
Yeah, we're going to kill your girlfriend.
So instead of killing her or him, he puts another collar bomb on some random guy.
Yeah.
And blows his head off.
That guy's got to be like, great plan, Barry Pepper. Right. Like, this plan has...
Not that guy, but apparently, like, his brother or something is there with them because he's freaking out.
Yeah.
We're introduced to a lot of new characters at this point. Yeah. I'm going to say it right now. A lot of the supporting cast of Man-Animals were mostly guys. They were mostly white. They mostly had the same haircuts, and they mostly were around about the same age.
Yes.
So I had trouble keeping track of the smaller parts.
Yep.
Because they'd come in and have like one or two lines, then leave. Right. But then they'd have more significance later on in the movie. And I was like, which one is that again? I thought they just killed him. Oh, no. Okay. This guy's got war paint on. Okay. He's the guy who had the. Okay. So that was confusing too. And there's one thing that we just passed over that we were talking about off mic, me and Cody. How did Barry Pepper's character learn about Euclidean geometry from the alien machine? If Euclidean, not geometry itself, Euclidean geometry.
I agree. And this is where, like, I think they sort of, like, intentionally left this sort of open as to what he was learning in that VR, like, reality is or the VR learning
Earth
thing.
History too?
Because he seemed to be, you're right, like, some of what he's learning is clearly Earth-based
geometry. Yeah, but it's pretty clear that the Cyclos don't know, like, English or anything about Earth stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know why the library is significant to them then, but...
Yeah,
In 1,000 years, they never learned the language that the humans were speaking or anything about Earth.
Or they seem to have all this crazy tech, but they were never able to, especially in the early stages, ever able to basically be like, oh, we're going to be able to translate?
Yeah.
Like, no one ever...
Like teach one of the humans English.
Yeah.
And then have them translate their language.
Yeah.
And then put that in your computer in the room.
Yeah, and grill them and be like, hey, where's your gold?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fort Knox? Well, got it. Yeah. Cool. We're taking it. Yeah. All right. Later, skaters. Yeah. Like, we're out of here. Yeah.
So after this scene, so they show him that he's got the girl, that they have the girl, so he's going to cooperate. He's going to mine, whatever. But this was confusing.
Go ahead.
This was confusing because it's like, okay, they're in, like Jack said, I'm assuming this mine is not too far outside of Denver.
The geography of this mine is really hard to determine, but I think yes. You're right.
I was under the impression that it was only a few miles away. Like
it's got to be pretty
in the
close.
Wrong place.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like they're doing the mining thing, and Barry Pepper has some speech. I only caught part of it where he says something like, we're going to give them some, we're going to pretend that we mine gold for some reason. I think it was so they had time to plan a revolt.
Right.
But like, we're not actually going to mine the gold. We're just going to trick them into think we mine the gold.
Which means no cyclos are watching them when they're mining it.
Yeah.
Right.
Cut to Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And just like Barry Pepper and some of the man animals are at Fort Knox busting in and stealing gold. That means
in the logic of this film, right? That means that the Cyclos, who were too stupid to learn the human's language, too stupid to ask where the human race's gold deposits were, find out there's a gold vein, begrudgingly teach humans, because they don't really want to, but they teach humans how to mine the gold, give them access to weapons and technology. Okay, you go mine your gold with that stuff we just gave you. See you later. And they walk away.
Somehow they sneak away, fly all the way
they
to
fly
Kentucky or wherever.
From Denver to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And fly back.
Right.
Seemingly with no one the wiser.
Yeah. But there's no scene of them like sneaking away and or figuring out how to fly to Kentucky. It's just all of a sudden cut to Kentucky. Break in, here's some gold, cut back to Denver. Here's the gold we found.
You know what? And I feel like they didn't want to include that because I feel like if they had included a shot of the humans just in the psycho ship flying to freaking Kentucky from Denver, that they know that people would be like, hey, are any of the cyclos think that's weird that there's just like a ship flying to Kentucky?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know,
but then like 5 minutes later, all of a sudden it cuts and it's like Fort Hood, Texas.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? How are they going like this?
They are all over the place.
Yeah.
And flying by. Here's another crazy thing. There's no, it's impossible. The cyclos ship clearly can't have GPS or anything like that because they don't know where these things are. So they're flying to Fort Hood and to Fort Knox just by line of sight?
I guess so,
Did he learn it at the Denver Library?
I don't... Yeah, this is nuts. I mean, like, if you just put the three of us up in a helicopter right now and said, fly to Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm. And why not just give John Travolta all that gold and be like, hey, we found gold somewhere else. We don't have to mine it. Here it is. Just take it. And it'll buy your way off the planet.
This is a great question should come up later.
And because my thought, as soon as I brought this or got this gold, was like, this gold is in bars. Like, how?
That's my first thought.
How do they carry that?
These gold bars.
Well, not how they carry, but how they can convince him that they took it out of the mine.
And I'm like, how's the movie going to address this? Which the movie then does. They give
like
the gold to John Travolta. And John Travolta's like, why is this in bars?
You had time to smelt it?
Yeah. You had time to smelt it and put it in bar form. John Travolta should be like, whoa, wait a minute.
It's like the dumbest
plan
ever.
So you have set up a pretty large-scale manufacturing operation where you are both heating liquid gold, pouring it.
They made some molds.
Mold, and then cooling it, yep. Breaking the molds open, like
stamping little numbers on there.
Which, by the way, he never asked them to do. Right. Gave them no resources to do that. And he's kind of upset about it.
And maybe that would screw him over, because maybe his buyers wanted his unprocessed ore. You don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. His thing was like, well, if you had time to do all this, you would have had time to get more gold. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so dumb. And again, for John Travolta, this should have been a major red flag. This is a real, like, a bunch of man animals built a large scale gold processing operation.
I love it.
So that's when they have another meeting in the cave, and they're like, we have to get weapons or something.
Right.
And then that's when it cuts to Fort Hood, and they go to Fort Hood because there's like jets there and a flight simulator.
Let's talk a little about this meeting, because this meeting was pretty. It's like all the cavemen in the meeting, and they're like, okay, so here's what we got to do. We got to take over. So, all right, we got to break open the dome, because that will kill all the psychos on the planet. But if we do that, then just more psychos are going to come, and they're just going to wipe us out. Okay, so Barry Pepper's like, no problem. We just have to destroy their home planet. And no one is like, dude, what the shit are you talking about? Like, everyone's like, yep, yeah. okay, got it, yep.
Makes sense.
And then he says in that meeting, we just need to go to Texas. Mm-hmm. And no one in that meeting is like, what the hell's a Texas? like, I'm sorry, but at this point, for a bunch of freaking cavemen,
right. The Texas boundaries hasn't existed for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
They remembered the Alamo.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We've been looking into, we are cavemen, so we understand municipal governments and, how the states got their shapes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I like that it's still Fort Hood, Texas.
It's still Fort Hood, Texas. Yeah. Yep. We then get one. I mean, this movie asks its audience for a lot. There's a scene. So the cavemen and Barry Pepper show up at Fort Hood. Again, they just hang out, fly to Fort Hood, Texas.
Yep.
No John Travolta has not increased oversight, even though they just handed him a ton of perfectly smelted gold bars. And they're cavemen. They're pointing spears at a flight simulator.
Yeah.
Until moments later, they are in it.
Yeah. And Barry Pepper's like, you need to teach them how to use this in 7 days.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, okay.
This is not just suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
You're just saying to people, don't even have a disbelief.
Right.
That, yeah. I mean, I have, in a very unique circumstance, there is a flight simulator on the floor of the building I work on. If you put cavemen in it, I can tell you right now, first of all, If we waited 1,000 years, I don't think that flight simulator would be waiting for.
How's it being powered even?
What's is there still electricity? And they just flip the switch and the lights come on dramatically.
That's one of my notes. What's powering this? Yeah. After 1,000 years, they're just like, oh yeah, good. Yep, the AC current's still running in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you put cavemen in the flight simulator that's on the floor of my building, I will tell you this. Would not go well.
Like, I think if I got into the flight simulator in the first building, it wouldn't go well, because you can't just get in a flight simulator, I'm assuming, and just learn how to fly in.
You cannot. You absolutely cannot. And also, I feel like I'm attacking a movie that is brainless on this point. You don't just get in a flight simulator. There's a flight simulator operator. A trained operator has to be running the flight simulator.
Yeah.
No one's trained to do that. Even Barry Pepper's just like throws a caveman in there. And he's like, you got 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we have people who are aerospace engineers who in 7 days couldn't this is
so then like Jack said, they keep saying like, yeah, piece of cake. And Jack's like, how do they know what cake is?
Yeah. How do they know what cake?
I can't imagine that saying just like was passed down from generation to generation.
It's so nuts. How does any of this work? And meanwhile, there's still, like, talk of leverage. Barry Pepper somehow gets his hand on the secret video recording of Forrest Whitaker talking about the plan to steal the gold.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a haunting look into blackmail. Yeah, I mean, this movie at its core is a movie about blackmail.
It is.
And leverage. And Barry Pepper cuts a deal with Forrest Whitaker where if Forrest Whitaker will let all of the slaves, including the girlfriend, out, he will give him the video recording of him, which so he which I guess that that happens. Mm-hmm. And then John Travolta, basically, there's like a trespass style, like, haha, you thought you had leverage? I have the leverage. The, you know, and he, the goofy bartender character who occasionally showed up throughout the movie, like, Forrest, he was Forrest Whitaker's, like, contact in case he got killed, but John Travolta killed the bartender.
Aha! He pulls his head out of a box and laughs like the Joker.
Also, why doesn't John Travolta kill Forrest Whitaker at this point?
Because he's still training him?
I don't know. Like, that doesn't make sense, right? Because he should just also...
No, because he's unarmed. He said that earlier. You can't shoot me. It's against regulations. I'm unarmed. Well, I'm sure that bartender was unarmed.
Yeah, I'm sure the bartender was unarmed. I mean, John Travolta could just, like... I mean, it's not like John Travolta's ethical. He could just put a gun in Forrest Whitaker's... The hand of Forrest Whitaker's dead body. Mm-hmm. Like he knows... John Travolta knows... Like, one of the goofiest things about this movie is... The relationship between John Travolta and Forrest Whitaker's characters. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to trust each other because it's this whole like backstabby plot, but there's also points where you're like, why does the other one still continue to trust the other one?
I mean, John Travolta shoots Forrest Whitaker's hand off here. And he's like, okay, now go do this and this for me. And Forrest Whitaker's like, okay.
And Whitaker takes it like a champ. He's just like, hey, my hand. And there's no blood or anything. It doesn't seem to hurt him.
I mean, Travolta is... Just does every decision he makes the wrong decision. He should have just killed Forrest Whitaker here and shut down this whole opera. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, he already had enough gold, I would imagine, at that point.
He kills a lot of people who don't mean anything, but the people who are actually a threat to him, he doesn't
do anything about. Yeah. We also get a scene that felt like it was out of a Warner Brothers cartoon where Carlo, who was the sidekick to Barry Pepper, the guy who tried to mug him and then was like, realized he was actually not a mugger, but just a distracted hunter. He finds his way into a room where they keep the explosives. How did we know that that room was full of explosives? Everything is literally labeled Acme style explosives. And it's like, I mean, it's so... ridiculous. I hope that the prop department that day was like, this is embarrassing. Like, it's just like boxes that say explosive in it. It is a scene that does not belong in a serious movie. It's a scene that belongs in like maybe like a Nickelodeon kids show or something where you can't have subtlety, but
So and then they grab this like nuclear bomb, which Jack said at that point is like, oh, is that one bomb going to blow up the entire planet? And I'm like, yeah, like beneath the Planet of the Apes. And it did.
It did. One nuke. And it effed that planet up, tell you.
I'm not 100% sure I understand the plan here, but I understand it, the plan both involves they do want to blow up. They have to blow up the alien's home planet by teleporting the nuclear bomb there.
To Cyclo 1 or whatever it's called.
To Cyclo 1. And then blow up the dome because that will kill the Cyclos on Earth.
Yes.
Okay.
Instead of just killing the Cyclos on Earth and taking the planet back and then having this hope for humanity and then maybe leave it open for a sequel, which I wouldn't want to watch, but you know.
Well, there was supposed to be a sequel. This is apparently this movie covers half of the book.
This covers half. Yeah.
So there was a whole other half to the story that was not told.
Yeah.
This is the left behind of Scientology.
Yeah. But their plan kind of is going wrong in ways that I'm not totally sure I even understood because the movie, editing becomes so choppy and weird at this point.
They get caught. There's just some rebellion. They get out. They have machine guns. The Cyclos fight back.
Well, and then who comes to the rescue? There's a big moment that is clearly supposed to be the audience like, yeah. But it's cavemen in, like...
Jets.
Yeah.
How? Okay.
They're in that flight simulator.
Well, I mean, A, let's jump the whole idea that they could learn to fly a jet. Mm-hmm. These jets are 1,000 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, this would be... this is insane. Yeah. All of the components that make a major... attack jet work would all be fine after a thousand years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many.
Plus, I read that jet fuel has a shelf life of like 4 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like the powering of it, like the munitions, like
the component, they're probably like rubber and plastic components that would might deteriorate. They could be corrosion in the engine.
There would be corrosion everywhere. And they're not just flying these things. They're like dogfighting. They're hovering in them. I mean,
I expected them to do a Blue Angels like starburst thing. I was like, that would.
And the movie is both dumb and lazy. They could have just done this where they somehow commandeered alien spaceships.
Which they already knew how to fly.
It doesn't benefit them to have this be U.S., attack planes.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. And the visuals of a caveman in a plane is
ridiculous. And this dogfight stuff was very Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the worst edited sequences I've ever seen in a motion picture. I didn't understand what was happening. At one point, a caveman hits the eject button. I didn't know if he ejected. I never saw anyone eject. They never
saw him again.
You never saw him again. I don't know if that was unsuccessful.
I thought he was gonna come back
One caveman munitions low warning comes up on his thing. I don't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. I don't know who.
Well, that was him, and I think it was he couldn't shoot the ship in front of him, so he ran his jet into it.
Okay.
But hit the eject button just before, but they never showed him eject. showed him again.
I mean, like, we're talking about like seventh grade level editing of if you're going to show a guy hit an eject button, you should show the consequence of that
action. Or show him come back at some point, like save, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or something.
Like, oh, that guy, oh yeah, he ejected.
Yeah, I mean.
Yep. No.
I mean, they may have.
If you went through the trouble of showing the eject, you got to follow through.
Yeah. And Carmo, everything's going wrong because Turl also interrupted Barry Pepper while he was trying to transport a guy to Cyclo with an atomic bomb.
Mm.
So the aliens were able to deactivate some of the bombs. So when Carmo activates the bomb that's going to blow up the dome, it doesn't actually blow up the dome. It just cracks the glass on the dome.
Uh-huh.
I was amazed that I was... This is really only through closed captioning that I was able to kind of follow some of this because visually it's not helping you. Okay, so then we get this sort of fight scene. Oh, and at one point, there's like this random shots of destruction within the Cyclo City. Did anyone notice that there's just a random shot of ice blocks hitting a sidewalk?
Yes.
That I was like,
what? I thought that was glass falling down.
Yeah, I think it was probably glass.
I think it was supposed to be glass, but I think it was actually just ice blocks. And it's like a weird cutaway that felt like it was probably done as like a reshoot, but it was like, I was just like, those are ice blocks. Like, why are...
I don't know.
Yeah. And we get a fight scene between John Travolta and Barry Pepper.
He uses the collar bomb as a callback.
Which was not a terrible idea, but again, edited so poorly that they take all of the tension out of it. And they actually, because the movie has been so, the storytelling has been so bad, they have to do a flashback where they show him putting the collar bomb on the girlfriend. Because probably, understandably, audiences were like, what's that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was a decent idea, but it was executed so oddly because like they're like fighting, he like jumps on his back and puts the collar around his arm.
Yeah.
Which apparently he doesn't notice. So then he like falls to the ground and he's like, basically he's like, I hope you don't blow my girlfriend's head off. And Jennifer's like, oh yeah, let me do that.
Yeah.
And then he's like pulls out the remote and Barry Pepper's like, you don't want to do that. And he's like, well, I think I do. And he hits it and blows his own arm off.
Just for sake of people who haven't seen the film, that is basically the dialogue from that scene.
Yeah.
And then, so he blows his arm off and then that's the end of.
And he takes that like a champ. Like he's like, oh, my arm. Right. And he's just kind of like standing there.
Yeah.
Well, and Travolta did. Up. I forgot to mention this for reasons. Maybe John Travolta is the protagonist of this movie. For reasons that make no sense, John Travolta did teleport Barry Pepper's caveman friend to Cyclo.
Yeah, I don't know if. Were they teleporting something?
I think they were teleporting the gold bars and then the caveman like jumped in like last minute with the bomb or something.
But when Travolta came in, he saw that Barry Pepper was trying to transport something.
So why transport it?
So why transport anything and be like, whoa, hey, when I walked in here, that guy who's been nothing but surprising me with his ingenuity was trying to transport something. Maybe I shouldn't fire up the transporter till I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
But Travolta is the one who transports caveman bomb guy to Psycho, and where
he, like, this is ridiculous. One nuclear bomb ignites the entire planet, destroys the entire planet, which blows up
4 seconds,
turns into not even like chunks of things, turns into like a beautiful tiny little cloud of dust, and its moon is gone too.
Yeah.
Who has that kind of bomb, and why did the human race lose against the Psycho Invasion in 9 minutes? Because they imply that it is a human bomb.
Yeah, because what this basically says, if the humans at any point...
They have planet-destroying technology.
Yeah, and they could have just launched anything radioactive apparently would have just melted down the entire concept of Psycho.
It's not like it's like hooked into like a chain reaction to all the other... Nope, it's one bomb.
Yeah.
Planet and its moon, not even like debris floating in space, like they never existed.
And we cut back, and now, caveman Barry Pepper is like running things. John Travolta is now being held captive
at Fort Knox.
Yep.
And I think at one point, John Travolta even says, "Why are you keeping me alive?" And I did laugh at this moment because the answer, and this should be no surprise to anyone watching the movie, why is Barry Pepper keeping John Travolta alive? Leverage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Leverage over.
Oh my God.
I guess over the cyclos? I don't know.
He gives this goofy definition of, in case another cyclo ever shows up on Earth, They can
use him as leverage, because your homeworld was destroyed because of your greed.
Yeah.
So the remaining Cyclones or Cyclos or whatever will know that. And so if they ever come for you, or if they ever find you or find out where you are, then they're going to...
We'll give them you as an exchange. Leave us alone and we'll give you public enemy number one.
Yeah, we'll give you the guy who destroyed the Cyclo home planet, which... He's not wrong. I would even say directly.
Yeah.
I mean, he's directly responsible for it. He was essentially like the angel investor who funded this entire revolution effort.
Mm-hmm. And you find out Forrest Whitaker is now working with the humans. He's giving them weapons and stuff, and I'm assuming like teaching them.
Yeah.
The head cyclo or whatever.
Yeah, and Forrest Whitaker's like, hey, pretty sweet gig.
Yeah.
Animals are kind of like, okay.
And then we finally get a payoff on all these crazy wipes. All through the movie, the center of the screen pushes outward to these crazy wipes.
Yep.
And then the final scene, the wipe closes. John Travolta is being locked in a cage.
The wipes were driving me a little crazy. Yeah, and God, I know people will say Star Wars used a ton of wipes.
Yeah, but Star Wars used wipes.
Off Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars used the wipes at least 50% less.
Yeah.
And the wipes were different every time.
Yeah.
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 It's every Star Wars movie just is a little bit of a...
Well, and let's also say Star Wars was made in 1977. Mm-hmm. It was not that weird to use...
Well, and plus that was a throwback to the serials.
To serials, yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
From
right.
the 30s.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm okay with like one wipe every 15, 20 minutes than one wipe every cut.
It was every scene would be a wipe to the next scene.
It was like all wipes, yeah. I mean, this felt like an editor who had...
And it was always the same wipe.
Yeah, just learned about wipes or who had just got a video toaster and was, I was surprised like heart wipes didn't come in. Or, yeah. All right, before we do Is It So Bad It's Good, we're going to do a So Wrong It's Right. I'm going to read you three things. One of these, only one of them is true. In 1984, the Church of Scientology put on a major push to get Battlefield Earth made as a movie. And to a point of hiring a public relations... Yeah, I think so. They really kind of, and there was a little traction on it, and they even had like a big PR agency working for them. And so they were trying some, essentially what you would call stunts to try to get this movie, you know, like, so here's three things I'm going to read. One of the three is true. All done by one. The thing that's true, or all three of these, would be Church of Scientology. Did they, A, convince Wolfgang Puck to cook rats and serve them at a gala where studio heads could learn about the movie and engage interest for investing in it? Put Scientologists in cages for 2 weeks and had actors in costumes pretend to torture them in downtown LA? Or put a 3-story tall cyclo on Hollywood Boulevard?
Oh, geez. All of those sound legitimate. That's the thing that's bothering me. I'm going to go with the Wolfgang Puck. It seems a little outlandish, but I think of those three, it's the one they'd be the easiest to get away with.
Okay.
I'll go with the second one.
The put Scientologists in cages. Yeah. For amazingly, the craziest one is the one they really did. There was a 3-story tall inflatable cyclo on Hollywood Boulevard in 1984 trying to get people interested in this movie.
And it looked like the way the cyclos ended up in the movie, basically?
I don't... the article I was reading didn't have a picture, so I don't... It was kind of ish, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
It's a big alien monster.
And Scientology didn't stop their push with this. In the mid-90s, when Travolta came off of Pulp Fiction, he was super hot. And this movie kind of had its like foundation in the mid-90s because Travolta was a big name.
And it took time to produce.
Big name. So they had Scientologists harass studio executives into supporting the movie. So multiple studio executives said they would constantly have people coming up to them being like, hey, Battlefield Earth, I'm really excited for Battlefield Earth. To which Bill Mechanic, who is the president at Fox, said, quote, do you think in any way, shape, or form weirding me out is going to make me want to make this movie? and this movie was also the subject of a major lawsuit where the... Because this was all very shady financing. And it apparently turns out that while this movie's budget was reported at $77 million or maybe even higher... it came out a lot of that money was grifted, and that it looks like $44 million was the actual budget for the movie. And it was like hundreds of millions of dollars actually got returned to investors from a series of other movies because the producers had just been like straight up taking money. Yeah. Kind of explains a little bit. At $44 million, it gives you a better idea of why some of this movie looks like a Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not that Star Trek The Next Generation is bad, it's just
but
like...
that's 80s television versus 2000s movie.
Yeah, and why you're working on like a real tight budget.
I think my favorite bit of trivia was, did you see the two movies that John Travolta had compared this to?
Yeah. It was like...
it was Star Wars A New Hope, but better.
Yeah.
And it was the Schindler's List of sci-fi movies is what he said. Oh,
yeah.
Do you want to tell them the movie that I compared it to last night? Or shall I?
I don't remember, so.
The Bruce Campbell Sci-Fi Channel classic Alien Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
It's dozens of times better than this film, and it's basically the same story done well.
Yeah.
And that's on a budget that is like less than a quarter of what this film was made for.
Oh, I'm sure it's less than a quarter.
Alien
Apocalypse. If it's a sci-fi original, it was probably made for like
$250,000.
It was probably like $1 million.
Was shot in Bulgaria. 90% of the cast is dubbed over, and it is about alien termites that enslave the human race into harvesting lumber for them. And Bruce Campbell is an astronaut who leads a revolt. It's a sci-fi version of Spartacus, and it's hundreds of times better than this movie is.
All right, well, let's do a quick round of Is It So Bad It's Good? Jack, let's start with you.
Yes, I think so. I think I laughed enough. I think there's enough logical... there's a lot of illogic. There's a lot of ridiculous things to go with it. There's unnecessary slow motion that pays off when they say, security forces are coming quickly, and it cuts to a shot of the security forces walking in slow motion. It's got those stupid wipes. It's got the stupid Dutch angle. It's got the weird 90s music video stretchy thing going on. The costumes are ridiculous. Every time they waved their rubber hands in the air and the fingers are wiggling, I was like, hee-hee. It's got the bad acting. It's got the weird backstory. I think this is a perfect So Bad It's Good movie.
Andrew, Cody, what do you think?
I think that it lives up to its infamous status. It was weird for me because I remember seeing the trailers when it first came out, and I always thought I'd never seen anything after that, but I always thought it was like a space fighting dogfight kind of, you know, spaceship kind of movie. So I was very surprised to see the entire movie take place on Earth and that it was about stealing gold. So I had no idea what this movie was about. But yeah, I mean, it's a little long, it's almost 2 hours, but it's worth seeing just for all the ridiculous stuff that Jack just went through. And it was bad. Yeah. Just to see John Travolta's overacting is worth it.
His overacting is, it's incomparable. I mean, there's nothing. I'm going to take a mildly, what might be an unpopular stance of this movie is as bad as its reputation is. It's horrendously bad. I don't know that I enjoy, like, for me, I don't know if it was so bad it was good. I found it kind of depressing and it's long and it's creepy. Like this movie, like, and its connection to Scientology made me feel creepy.
Well, it's got, you have like isolation chamber with forced education. You have blackmail, greed.
Yeah.
If you think about all that while you're watching it, it is like skeevy.
Slavery.
But. Yeah. Slavery. I couldn't, I was having, as they say, I was having trouble separating the dance from the dancer. And yeah. It was just creeping me out. So this is, well, lives up to its reputation. It's one of the worst movies ever made. Possibly, you know, it's on a very short list of the worst big budget movies ever made. Yeah. But I don't know that I'm going to watch it again.
I wouldn't watch it again, but I think it's worth watching once if you're into bad movies.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess that's true. That's true. Yeah, it is worth watching once. And there it is. That is Battlefield Earth. Apologies to friend of the show, Tony DePolvere, who for years we had been holding this one out. We wanted to do an episode of Tony.
It has like 7 years to be a part of it. So
I know. And we had an issue with the original movie we were going to do, disappeared from Netflix. I don't want to say what that movie is, but we do want to do it down the road. So this was a kind of a last minute fill-in emergency. But someday down the road, I do hope we get Tony on for a different movie. And we will be back soon. I haven't been plugging. Oh, you know what I wanted to do? Because if people ever have comments or questions they want to send in, you can send them to my Twitter handle if you want, at Alex Dunbar News. You can tag me in a tweet. I had at one point given out my Gmail address, but I think my Gmail filters, I actually caught two emails that I think my Gmail had filtered out improperly. So Gmail is on me. I may have my Gmail filters set up incorrectly, but try us on Twitter or try us on Facebook. We do have people reach out to us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. At Alex Dunbar News on Twitter or our Facebook page for Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. And as always, you can get all of our past episodes at stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Mm-hmm. They are all there. They are all living in their glory. There are some amazing older episodes there. Worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Worth checking out. And we will be back soon with another fantastically bad movie. I think we have a couple that we are scouting and are working. And Horrible Halloween is coming up, and there's a whole bunch that I
have some ideas for that.
Yeah, I have some too. I think this is going to be a good horrible Halloween. So perfect. All right, we will see you guys next time. All right, bye.